our homily for this morning from the Gospel we've just read. You know, the nature of the Gospel will not be an ordinary homily. I would like to speak on Christ, the source of discord. It is impossible to read what we've just read without realizing how mysterious is the teaching of Christ from what we've just read. If there is one title by which the Savior is known, by which we venerate him, it is that of Prince of Peace. If there is one urgent command of Christ, it is that he might love and thus be at peace with our fellow men. Yet here are the most explicit terms possible. He declares, "You think I've come to bring peace? You're wrong. I have come to bring division and discord." Then to bring out even more dramatically and clearly the kind of division that he foretold, a household of five will be divided, three against two, in every possibly discordant combination. Our faith is filled with mystery. Surely this is mysterious. We begin then by distinguishing, as the Savior did himself, between two kinds of peace. Remember, my peace I give you. Where the stress is on the phenomenal adjective, my, and not, note the negative. Not as the world brings, do I bring you peace. So there are two kinds of peace. And what profound wisdom there is in being able to distinguish between the two. To seek the one and not want the other. Surely Christ did come into the world to bring peace. The first message of the angel, the morning he was born, was the promise of peace. The first command that Christ gave to his followers on Easter Sunday, when he appeared to them, was peace be to you. So we ask, what does it mean to receive, to look for, and to earnestly want the peace of Christ? Well, the phrase I like the last is so expressive. Pax Christi, the peace of Christ, that we are to wish each other, and that it is so long for our senses. What is it? It is the interior peace of soul that comes to everyone in the measure that he or she is doing the will of God as proclaimed by Christ. Who then has a claim on the peace of Christ? The one who does the will of Christ. So you want to be at peace. Who does? But what are the terms? The terms are living up to what Christ foretold is the indispensable condition for the kind of peace that he will give. Follow me, and you'll be at peace. Do what I tell you, and you'll be at peace. Be my disciple, and you will be at peace. But be sure, he tells us, you know the difference between my peace and the peace promised by the Word. So then we come to the second piece. An apology for more Latin. So please you say the glory in Latin. I didn't know what would happen when I am telling you Latin. Shall we have the cradle in Latin, sir? Are you ready for it? Mother says no. If there is a Pax Christi, there is also a Pax Mundi. A peace of the world. Christ foretold that kind of peace. The peace that I give you is not the peace that the world promises. So yes, what is this worldly peace? We all know without being told. Even as the peace of Christ is promised to those who live according to the principles of Christ, so the principles which the world promises are the condition for the peace that it will give. Do you want to be accepted by the world? The conditions are very simple. Live up to the premises of the world. And we don't have to go far or study hard to know what the principles of the world are, which are its conditions for the peace that it promises. We call them the seven capital sins. They are the seven principles of the Pax Mundi. Pride, assert yourself. Lust, indulge yourself. Greed, get all you can. That's the word. And it's John, the beloved disciple, made so plain. The world loves its own. That's why he could tell the early Christians, while the world does not love you, because you are not of the world. Will you tell me why most religious women in the United States have removed their religious garb? I'll tell you why. They want to conform to the world. I understand very soon the Holy See is coming out with a very clear and explicit document on divinity in politics and social activism. I haven't got a document. Knowing the present Pope, I'm already sanctioned what the document was saying. You know, we now have a nun as mayor of the new government in our country. And I just received, before I left New York, I couldn't believe it. A nun is vice presidential candidate in this year's election for, well, vice president of the Socialist Party. Why do so few priests nowadays are the lay people who stop me on the street and thank me for looking like a priest? I can now remember in a priest's room overnight, in my city, I was lecturing. I looked in his wardrobe. Nine suits, not one black. So the world loves its own. And the conditions it lays down for loving those to the multitude of others. But all you've got to do is capitulate. How well I know. How well I know. And if you don't, if you don't surrender, if you dare to be different, God help you, because the world will not love you. St. Augustine, in his City of God, expressed it for all future generations in beautiful language. Mankind, he said, is divided into two classes. Call them two cities. The city of God, the Chivitas Dei, and the city of the world, the Chivitas Mundi. Who belongs to the city of God? Those who love God, even to the contempt of themselves. Who belong to the city of the world? Those who love themselves, even to the contempt of God. That's what the gospel we have read is all about. So now we come to the context, where Christ speaks of not bringing peace. Oh, he did come to bring peace. But his kind of peace. And when he spoke of division, he foretold prophetically and how truly that if you're going to follow him, you're going to pay a price and make no mistake. The world loves its own. It does not love, mark these words, it does not love the followers of Christ. That is a revealed dogma of Christianity. And how many people try to strive serving Christ and the Lord. Remember the Savior's words? you cannot serve God and I am God, he tells me. Cannot. An ancient word, former word. What Christ is telling us in the gospel we read, and on which we should often meditate, is don't you dare compromise. Are you my follower or aren't you? You claim you are. Behave like one. One of the most frightening words in the New Testament is Christ's description. Remember in the Apocalypse to St. John? I would you were hot or cold, but because you are lukewarm, you're trying to serve both the world and me, I will vomit you from my mouth. And if there is anyone in God's church who should be no compromiser, it is Linnaeus. In fact, if I could describe our principal mission to the people of God, it is to witness to them how a person who does not compromise with Christ lives. Life? What's our life all about? Unless we are less. You know in yourself, I know in myself, we know what temptation is. We are subject to it. And we can read a lot of books to support our conduct. How tempted we are to compromise. In closing, let us ask this Savior, who couldn't have been blamed. In the years of my teaching theology, I told my students, mainly Jesuits for over 20 years, not ours, not all of you have a lot of intelligence. Some are bright, some are not so bright. That's why we give grades in school. But never be bad. Be clear. Christ is clear. We ask him, dear Jesus, Prince of Peace, give us, we beg you, your peace. The kind of peace that only you can give to those who are hateful and following you. And Jesus, give us also the strength to resist the blandishments and the threats and the seduction and the deception of the world. Help us, dear Savior, never to compromise between yourself and the world that crucified you and, as I'm discovering, wants to crucify me. So be it, dear Lord. In his work, not mine. Jesus, Prince of Peace, help me.